Welcome back to this beautiful Divine Office podcast. I want to take this opportunity to invite us all to pray together and reflect a little bit on the gifts of the Holy Spirit on this beautiful day. We have a great religious brother, not a priest, but a religious brother is an optional memorial. But he had all types of amazing gifts of the Holy Spirit, all types of amazing charisms and gifts that people would come to him to use. I'm talking about Saint Andre Bissette, a modern Catholic saint. So we're going to celebrate the optional memorial, but we'll have most of the prayers from the day, from this part of our Christmastide celebration. So, Christ has appeared to us, come let us adore him, is our antiphon for the invitatory. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Christ has appeared to us, come let us adore him. Come let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Christ has appeared to us, come let us adore him. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Christ has appeared to us, come let us adore him. Come then, let us bow down and worship him, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are his people. The flock he shepherds. Christ has appeared to us. Come, let us adore him. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Christ has appeared to us. Come, let us adore him. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Christ has appeared to us. Come, let us adore him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Christ has appeared to us. Come, let us adore him. Now we will have our special time of praying with the Psalms. So bow down and hear me, Lord. Come to my rescue is Antiphon 1. Psalm 31, exempting 3 verses. A troubled person's confident appeal to God. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Luke 23:46 is our verse. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, set me free, hear me, and speedily rescue me. Be a rock of refuge for me, a mighty stronghold to save me. For you are my rock, my stronghold. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Release me from the snares they have hidden. For you are my refuge, Lord. Into your hands I commend my spirit. It is you who will redeem me, Lord. O God of truth, you detest those who worship false and empty gods. As for me, I trust in the Lord. Let me be glad and rejoice in your love. You who have seen my affliction and taken heed of my soul's distress have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet at large. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Bow down and hear me, Lord. Come to my rescue. Antiphon 2. Lord, let the light of your countenance shine on your servant. And we continue with that same psalm. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in distress. Tears have wasted my eyes, my throat, and my heart. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighs. Affliction has broken down my strength, and my bones waste away. In the face of all my foes, I am a reproach, an object of scorn to my neighbors, and of fear to my friends. Those who see me in the street run far away from me. I am like a dead man, forgotten, like a thing thrown away. I have heard the slander of the cloud. Fear is all around me, as they plot together against me, as they plan to take my life. But as for me, I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My life is in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of those who hate me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your love. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, let the light of your countenance shine on your servant. Antiphon 3. Blessed be the Lord, for he has poured out his mercy upon me. Same psalm. How great is the goodness, Lord, that you keep for those who fear you, that you show to those who trust you, in the sight of men. You hide them in the shelter of your presence, from the plotting of men. You keep them safe within your tent, from disputing tongues. Blessed be the Lord, who has shown me the wonders of his love, in a fortified city. I am far removed from your sight, I said in my alarm. Yet you heard the voice of my plea when I cried for help. Love the Lord, all you saints. He guards his faithful. But the Lord will repay to the full those who act with pride. Be strong. Let your heart take courage, all who hope in the Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. God of kindness and truth, you saved your chosen one, Jesus Christ, and you gave your martyrs strength. Now look after all of us in all the various difficulties, arguments, and feelings of our lives as we recite this psalm. And look after all the people that we need to pray for. Strengthen our hearts, for we hope in you. Make us able to proclaim your saving wonders and kindness in the eternal life and city that you bring us to. So that was a modified psalm prayer. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed be the Lord, for he has poured out his mercy upon me. Now for Monday after Epiphany, we begin a special lesson. The heavens proclaim the justice of God. All nations shall see his glory, is the verse introducing this lesson. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 11. The Spirit of the Lord is upon his servant. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the lowly, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord, and a day of vindication from our God, to comfort all who mourn, to place on those who mourn in Zion a diamond end instead of ashes, to give them oil of gladness in place of mourning, a glorious mantle instead of a listless spirit. They will be called oaks of justice, planted by the Lord to show his glory. They shall rebuild the ancient ruins. The former wastes they shall raise up, and restore the ruined cities, desolate now for generations. Strangers shall stand ready to pasture your flocks. Foreigners shall be your farmers and vine dressers. You yourselves shall be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God, you shall be called. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and boast of riches from them. Since their shame was double, and disgrace and spittle were their portion, they shall have a double inheritance in their land. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love what is right. I hate robbery and injustice. I will give them their recompense full faithfully. A lasting covenant I will make with them. Their descendants shall be renowned among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them. As a race, the Lord has blessed. I rejoice heartily in the Lord. In my God is the joy of my soul. For he has clothed me with a robe of salvation and wrapped me in a mantle of justice, like a bridegroom adorned with a diamond, like a bride bedecked with her jewels. As the earth brings forth its plants and a garden makes growth spring up, so will the Lord make justice and praise spring up before all the nations. Responsory prayer. The Spirit of God rests upon me, for the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captivity is now ended and prisoners are set free. I have come forth from God and have come into the world. I have not come of myself. The Father has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captivity is now ended and prisoners are set free. Now, instead of the reading that would have provided a little bit of an expansion on one or two elements, we have, let's take the second reading from St. Andre Bessette's memorial. It's very inspiring. This is from a homily on the Gospels by St. Gregory the Great, Pope. So, St. Pope Gregory the Great, in the world, yet not of it. I would like to urge you to forsake everything, but I cannot presume to do that. Yet, if you cannot give up everything of this world, at least keep what belongs to the world in such a way that you yourself are not kept prisoner by the world. Whatever you possess must not possess you. Whatever you own must be under the power of your soul. For if your soul is empowered by the love of the world's, is overpowered by the love of the world's goods, it will be totally at the mercy of its possessions. In other words, we make use of temporal things, but our hearts are set on what is eternal. Temporal goods help us on our way, but our desire must be for those eternal realities which are our goal. We should give no more than a side glance at all that happens in the world, but the eyes of our soul are to be focused right ahead, for our whole attention must be fixed on those realities which constitute our goal. Whatever is vicious must be utterly eradicated, wrenched away, not merely from being put into act, but even from being so much as thought of. No carnal pleasure, no worldly curiosity, no surge of ambition must keep us from the Lord's Supper. But further, our minds should merely skirt even the good deeds we perform in this life. In this way, the physical things which give us pleasure will serve our bodily needs without hindering the soul's progress. You see, my brothers, I dare not say to you, give up everything. Yet if you will, you can give something. You can give everything up while keeping it, provided you handle temporal things in such a way that your whole mind is directed toward what is eternal. A man can use the world as if he were not using it. If he makes all external needs minister to the support of his life without allowing them to dominate his soul, they remain external to him and under his control, serving him without hating, without halting the soul's drive to higher things. For such men, everything in this world is there for their use, not to be desired. Nothing should interfere with your soul's longing. No created pleasure in the world should ensnare you. If the object of love is what is good, then the soul should take its delight in the higher good, the things of heaven. If the object of fear is what is evil, then we should keep before ourselves things that are eternally evil. In this way, if the soul sees that we should have a greater love and a greater fear about what concerns the next life, it will never cling to this life. To help us to achieve all this, we have the help of the mediator between God and man. Through him, we shall obtain all this all the more quickly. The more we burn with a great love for him who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen. Responsory prayer. The time is growing short. We must rejoice as though we were not rejoicing. We must work in the world, yet without becoming immersed in it. For the world as we know it is passing away. We have not adopted the spirit of the world, for the world as we know it is passing away. Now let us also bring into this our morning prayer, or rather, we can come back and do another video of morning prayer later on. Let me think, let's see. I think we will do morning prayer, but the collect prayer is going to be very beautiful. It says, Lord our God, friend of the lowly, who gave your servant St. Andre Bisset a great devotion to St. Joseph and a special commitment to the poor and afflicted, help us through his intercession to follow his example of prayer and love, and so come to share with him in your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord and give him thanks. To begin with, I want to turn back to our first reading for our catechesis, just 5 minutes of handing on the faith, 7 minutes, something like that. And the catechism has a remarkable short explanation called The Gifts and the Fruits of the Holy Spirit. So in CCC 1830 to 1833, the Church tells us that the moral life of Christians is sustained by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are permanent dispositions which make man docile in following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. They belong in their fullness to Christ, Son of David. They complete and perfect the virtues of those who receive them. They make the faithful docile in readily obeying divine inspirations. Let your good spirit lead me on a level path. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So it has a couple of quotes from scripture or tradition there, or both. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are perfections that the Holy Spirit forms in us as the first fruits of eternal glory. The tradition of the Church lists 12 of them: charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. So I wish I could spend some time unpacking this remarkable sacrament of confirmation, because confirmation is, as Bishop Robert Barron likes to say, kind of on a journey. You know, it's a sacrament in search of its theology, as he likes to say. So we could go over some of the difficulties with calling it the sacrament of Christian maturity, one of which being that, you know, kids that are 15, 16, especially 10, are really not at their level. I understand that spiritual maturity is different and that people can be fully mature when they die at a young age and so forth. But for most of us, there is a progression where people growing in age and experience and being able to exercise their other faculties, it goes with their spiritual growth as well. So like they grow in wisdom and knowledge with age is a good example of that. So calling that just, okay, they're mature now, they're adults in the spiritual order, it really is kind of reductive, and it may not even be true in many cases for these kids. But in any case, we have this empowerment from the Holy Spirit to be anointed to be other Christs. And the Catechism uses that same important term, permanent dispositions, in regard to the virtues, to the moral virtues of the Christian life. So when we develop a constant habit of acting in the right way with the right thought process, this becomes a permanent disposition. But in the spiritual order, there are also permanent dispositions that come from the Holy Spirit's gift of himself, from the Holy Spirit's gift of a special spiritual gift called a sacramental character. But anyway, like I said, we have kind of missed the opportunity, even though I know many traditional Catholic priests would talk about the, quote, mighty sacrament of confirmation, and that's a good start. But traditionally, you know, we are really missing a deep reflection on the power of this baptismal priesthood. We're missing a big reflection on the idea of being anointed by the Holy Spirit with these gifts. So I wish I could say more about the gifts. But just to go over the confirmation rite itself, gives you a much better idea of what's going on, because the rite, having been modified, has been handed on by the apostles. So again, there are scriptures that talk about confirmation. It's the believer's own personal Pentecost. So use that as kind of the basis for how you would understand the institution of the sacrament. The first confirmation, if you will, is the apostles and holy women receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit in a way that allowed them to now be endowed with wisdom, to be endowed with knowledge, to be endowed with fortitude, to witness and proclaim the truth of Christ in their varying ways, no matter what, no matter what came up against them, and to make all their decisions with greater guidance. So now the Spirit is given lavishly in the New Covenant, not just to priests, prophets, and kings, and special types of people, but really everyone has the opportunity to enter into being a son or daughter of God with all the privileges and anointing that accompany that. So let's reflect on this beautiful gift of our gifts of the Holy Spirit and how those seven gifts in the different liturgies of the church encompass so much. And I hope you have a blessed rest of your day. And remember to look up St. Andre Bessette if you can.